Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Thursday class, 25th of June, 2026, Hebrews.
Great top. It's the 4th of July? I missed it. Fantastic. We are going to... 4th of July is on a Saturday this year. On the 5th of July Sunday, we are having Bible class, followed by communion service, followed by a movie. That will be on Sunday the 5th of July. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We are in Hebrews chapter 1. And I've already been contacted by people. They say, why don't you teach Hebrews all week long? We love that Hebrews class. Well, I love the Hebrews class too. But I also love Romans, and I love Zechariah, and I love 2 Corinthians, and I love all of them. And so I'm glad that you like Hebrews. We're going to keep on keeping on in all the other books as well. So in Hebrews chapter 1, the first three verses, we have the incomparable Christ. And then the rest of the chapter, we have the preeminent Christ. After completing his earthly ministry, Christ was restored to the dignity and the glory he possessed in eternity past. He was enthroned at God the Father's right hand in the place of honor as heir of all creation. Verses 1 through 3 present Christ as the authoritative architect and administrator of the universe. The incomparable Christ. Christ is the one who carries the ages he created and all human history to its God-designed end and purpose. The remainder of the chapter declares Christ's preeminence, contrasting his superior ministry to that of the angels. Verse 4 says, having become so much superior than the angels, by so much as he has inherited a more excellent name. And the word onomos for name refers to his person, refers to his essence, refers to his attributes, his reputation, in comparison to them, the angels. Angels are great and powerful, but none has an inheritance like that of Christ, the eternal Son of God. His name, his essence, his reputation, his attributes, his person, his authority, his power, his dominion far exceed that of any created angel. Now in verses 5 to 14, the author of Hebrews uses seven quotations from the Old Testament to document the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ to angels. Now we have studied the first five quotations in chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. So let's look at the corrected translation. Verse 5, for to which of the angels did God ever say at any time? Quotation number 1 from Psalm 2:7. You are my eternally existing Son. Today I have begotten thee, referring to the resurrection, ascension, and session of Christ, his coronation as the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. And again, quotation number 2, 2 Samuel 7:14. I will be his Father, and he himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of David, will be my Son. Verse 6, and again, when he, God the Father, brings the firstborn to the civilized world, the second advent of Christ, he says, quotation number 3 from Psalm 97, verse 7, and let all the angels of God worship him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7. And with reference to the angels, he says, quotation number 4 from Psalm 104, verse 4, the one who makes his angels spirits and his sacred servants a flame of fire. Verse 8. But face to face with the Son, he, God the Father, says, quotation number 5, Psalm 45, verses 6 and 7. O God, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of establishment is the scepter of your kingdom. Verse 9, you have loved righteousness, and you have hated lawlessness. Because of this, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, thy God, God the Father, has anointed you with the oil of ultimate happiness above and beyond your angelic associates. Now that brings us to the last two quotations. Quotation number 6, Psalm 102, verses 25 to 27. And quotation number 7, Psalm 110, verse 1. These last two quotations present Christ's power. Quotation number 6, Psalm 102, 25 to 27, is presented now in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. And we just started the exegesis of quotation number 6. We've exegeted verse 10, and a part of verse 11. What we exegeted sounds like this. Quotation number 6. You and only you, O Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, with reference to the beginnings, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. Verse 11, they, the heavens and the earth, will be destroyed. And that's as far as we got last time. In verse 10, the key word there is arche. And arche is the Greek word for beginning or origin. It's in the plural, and that's very, very important. It's in the plural, and the plural of arche refers to more than one beginning. The creation of the heavens and the earth, that was one beginning. The creation of angels, that was another beginning. The restoration of the earth and the creation of mankind, that was a third beginning. So, there was more than one beginning. And all of these beginnings are recognized by the plural of the word arche. Kurios puts the spotlight on the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the omnipotent, all-powerful God, the creator of the universe, and the creator of all things, the Lord Jesus Christ had something to do with all the beginnings in history. Jesus Christ created the universe, including the earth. That was one beginning. Sometime after that, we have an angelic creation. And then, a long, long time after that, God the Holy Spirit redesigned the earth for man's occupancy, and the Lord Jesus Christ created mankind. So we have the noun arche in the plural. Again, verse 10, you and only you, O Lord, with reference to the beginnings, laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. Now the word for heaven is Uranos, and it is also in the plural. The fact that it is in the plural tells us that there's more than one heaven. There are three heavens. The atmospheric heaven around planet Earth, the stellar heavens, the universe, and the third heaven, the throne of God. When the Lord Jesus Christ created the heavens and the earth, He had no hands. He never had hands until the first advent, at the incarnation and virgin birth, when He took on true humanity. And by that time, He had created everything that was created without hands. So, what do we have here? We have an anthropomorphism. Hands are a part of the anatomy of man. They do not belong to God. God is the Spirit. And here we have ascribing to God some human characteristic in order to teach a very important principle of truth. And the point is that Christ has more power in His hands than all of the angelic creation put together. You and only You, O Lord, with reference to the beginnings, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Your hands. In Psalm 102, verse 25, and in Hebrews 1:10, Jesus Christ is the Creator of the universe. So the hands of Christ are the hands of the Creator, and Jesus Christ's hands were the hands that were nailed to the cross. Psalm 22:14-18, John 20:19-31. So the hands that created the universe are the hands that were nailed to the cross. There are also the hands, these hands of Christ are also the hands of eternal security. At that moment that you place your faith in Jesus Christ takes you in His hand, and He's holding you, and you can never, ever, ever get out of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal security. He's holding your hand. You're not holding His hand. He grabs your hand at the moment you believe in Christ, and that means eternal security for every person who simply places their faith in Jesus Christ. So these are also the hands of eternal security. Psalm 37:24, John chapter 10, verses 22 to 29. The hands of creation, the hands of salvation, and the hands of eternal security are the Lord Jesus Christ's hands. Christ's incomparable power is seen in His hands as Creator, His hands as the only Savior, the only Redeemer, His hands that give the believer eternal security. Then verse 11, we barely got started. They, the heavens and the earth, will be destroyed. And the word there, destroyed, is the word apolumi. And in the active voice, apolumi means to ruin or to destroy. But in the middle voice, which is what we have, it means to be destroyed. To be destroyed, to be ruined. This refers to the future destruction of the heavens and the earth at the end of the millennium. This is taught in many passages, and this is what we closed with last week. Matthew 24:35, 2 Peter 3:10-13, Revelation 20:11, Revelation 21:1, Hebrews 12:26-27. All of these passages refer to the fact that this heavens and this earth are going to be destroyed. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, the word of God, will never, ever pass away. So that's as far as we got, so let's take it up right there. Again, corrected translation, they, the heavens and the earth, will be destroyed. This earth will be destroyed. This universe will be destroyed. And then Jesus Christ will create a new heavens and a new earth that will continue forever and ever and ever. And we have a fantastic destiny. We will live in that new heavens and new earth forever and ever. So they, the heavens and the earth, will be destroyed. Then we have the conjunction of contrast, death. Conjunction of contrast, death. Looks like that in the Greek, that's D-E. Death, and death is correctly translated, but. And it sets up a contrast between the heavens and the earth, which will be destroyed, with the incomparable and all-powerful Christ, who will be unchanged and remain forever. Contrast. And then we have the personal pronoun Sue, which is you, and you is the Lord Jesus Christ. But you, now, the position of the personal pronoun Sue is the emphatic position. And therefore, it should be correctly translated, but you, and emphatically you, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how this should be translated. Then we have the verb dia meno. Dia meno. D-I-A-M-E-N, long O. Dia meno. All right. One, dia meno literally means to remain. Literally, it means to remain. Two, dia meno means to remain continually, to remain permanently, to remain endlessly, continually, permanently, endlessly. Three, the Lord Jesus Christ remains as he eternally was. He remains unchanged, the eternal God in his deity. Four, the Lord Jesus Christ remains the incomparable Christ forever. The Lord Jesus Christ remains the preeminent Christ forever. The Lord Jesus Christ remains the omnipotent, all-powerful Christ forever. Dia meno. So, corrected translation. They, the heavens and the earth, they will be destroyed. But you, and emphatically you, the Lord Jesus Christ, you remain unchanged forever. And then we have in the King James, we always start with the King James, and they all shall become old as doth a garment. I'm glad it didn't say they all shall become old as doth Pastor Olson. I'm just glad it didn't say put that in there. I might have put it in there. And they all shall become old as doth a garment, doth. This is the conjunction chi with the nominative plural of pos plus the future passive indicative of palaiao plus the comparative particle hos with the noun himation. The conjunction chi is a connective chi. You translate it and. And then the nominative plural of pos. Nominative plural of pas. P-A-S. Pas. And this, you translate that, they all, and they all refers to the heavens and the earth. They all refers to the heavens and the earth. And then palaiao. That's P-A-L-A-I-O, long O, palaiao. All right, point one, palaiao is only found three times in the New Testament scriptures. It's found in Luke 12:33. It's found in our verse, Hebrews 1:11. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13. Two, palaiao in the active voice means to make old, to declare or treat as obsolete, to make old or to declare or treat as obsolete. But we don't have the active voice. Point three, we have the passive voice. And in the passive voice, it means to become old, often with the connotation of becoming useless. In the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to become old, often with the connotation of becoming useless. Four, and then polyao is followed by the comparative particle hos with the noun himation. And the comparative particle hos sets up a comparison between the heavens and the earth with an himation. And a himation is a garment. H-I-M-A-T-I-O-N. Himation. Himation is a garment, clothes. And you all understand this. You have clothes. Of course, some of you never throw anything away. You keep everything and you store it. Take it easy on your children. When you go to heaven, take it easy on them so they don't have to deal with all that stuff that you have piled up in your garage and put in storage and clothes that I guarantee you they don't want to wear those things. That's the illustration here. Hos himation, the comparative particle hos, sets up a comparison between the heavens and the earth with an himation, a garment. Five. You wear clothes for a while, and then they wear out. And they have to be replaced with a new garment. That's the illustration. So the corrected translation, they, the heavens and the earth, they will be destroyed. But you, and emphatically you, the Lord Jesus Christ, you remain unchanged forever. And they all, the heavens and the earth, they will become old like a garment. And then verse 12. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. This is the conjunction chi with the comparative particle hose. That's what in our hose can you see? No, it's not. Okay. Comparative particle hose. I'm glad that Charlie's here. He laughs. I don't know. The rest of you, you better go back to bed. Go back to sleep. I mean, that's what I really miss, Randy. I really miss Randy Frick. He's in heaven. Randy had a great sense of humor, and he laughed at anything I said. He laughed. And I love that guy. Now he's in heaven. Shit, get back down here. So we have the conjunction chi with the comparative particle hose plus the noun peribolion plus the future active indicative of eliso with the accusative plural of autos, plus the comparative particle host with the noun himation, repeated, plus the conjunction chi with the future passive indicative of eliso. So we have eliso and eliso. The conjunction chi with the comparative hose tells us that this illustration is going on. The comparison between clothes that we wear and the heavens and the earth continues on. And then we have peribalia. P-E-R-I-B-A-L-A-I-O-N. Peribalion. All right. One. Peribalion is only found two times in the New Testament scriptures. It's found in 1 Corinthians 11:15, and it's found in our verse, Hebrews 1:12. Two. Peribalion is an article of clothing. An article of clothing. Three, peribalion is a covering, a wrap. You ladies would call it a shawl, a cloak, a mantle. That's what peribalion is. It was very special and usually worn by higher-ups and kings and so forth. Four, peribalion is a mantle or a shawl, a robe that you wrap around yourself. You wrap it around yourself and you bring it over your shoulder. And one arm is always free. It is very, very comfortable. And usually the worn by those in the elite. Five. The heavens and the earth are compared to an old garment. An old mantle, an old robe, an old shawl that will one day be elisoed. One day be elisoed. E-L-I-S-S long O. Eliso. So the heavens and the earth are compared to an old garment, a mantle, a robe, a shawl that will one day be elisoed, which means rolled up. And after it's rolled up, then it's elisoed. First it's elisoed and then it's elisoed. And that's A-L-L-A-S. S long O. Elisoed. So first it's elisoed and then it's elisoed. And that means it's changed and thrown away. Changed and thrown away. Discarded. Six. The current heavens and earth will pass away. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth, Jesus Christ declared this. Jesus Christ who created the heavens and the earth. Jesus Christ who created the universe declared, heaven and earth, this universe will pass away, gone. But my words will never pass away. So what's important for you as a believer? What's important in your life? Is it the things on this earth? Or is it the Word of God? The thing that ought to be number one in importance in your life is that which is eternal. That's what ought to be number one. That which is eternal. And the Word of God is eternal. And all these things on the earth. If you're here and you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ is holding your hand, you're going to live with Him forever and ever. You have eternal security. But all these things you're storing up in your garage and in your house, You're not going to take any of those to heaven with you. None of those will go to heaven with you. All that money you've been saving, and you got all these stocks and bonds, and you're making millions. You're not going to take any of that with you. No money goes with you. No clothes go with you. Your house is not going to go with you. Your car is not going to go with you. Nothing on this earth is going to go with you. There's only one thing that you can take with you. The Word of God that you have in your heart. That you will take with you to heaven. That will last forever and ever and ever. The Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never pass away. So what's the number one priority in your life? Is it your job? Is it your house? Is it cars? Is it hunting? Is it fishing? And by the way, I love to hunt and fish. I love to hunt and fish. I can't do it now. You have to have knees to hunt and fish. But I have always loved hunting and fishing. My dad took me when I was a little shaver. I was in grade school. And he and my uncle would go hunting, and they'd wake me up to go hunting with them. And I love it. In Washington, when it's you hunt, snow 2 feet deep. And I just followed in my dad's footprints. I just stepped right behind him. One time, Dad didn't wake me up to go hunting with my dad and my uncle. When I woke up and they had gone, I cried and I cried and I cried and I cried. And when Dad came back home, my mom said, "Don't you ever leave this boy at home here again. When you're going to go hunting, you make sure you wake him up." He wanted to go so bad. He loved to go with you. I always loved hunting. I always loved fishing. Right now, I'm not able to do any of those things. But supposedly I'm going to be having surgery here, and they're going to put, I like to call it Jiffy Lube. Jiffy knee, but Jiffy Lube on my knee, and get at least one of them fixed, and then down the road a second one. And looking forward to that, and who knows? Maybe I'll be able to go hunting and fishing again. I love to do both of those. So nothing wrong. I think if you love to hunt and fish, I'm with you 100%. I've always loved hunting and fishing too. But what's the number one priority in your life? What's number one? Is it the things on planet Earth? Or is it God and the Word of God? What's eternal? God is eternal. Jesus Christ is eternal. The Word of God is eternal. That's what should be number one in your life. What is eternal? The living and true God, Jesus Christ, the incomparable Christ, the preeminent Christ, the all-powerful Christ, and the Word of God. That should be number one. Because the Word of God is the mind of Christ, the thinking of Christ. So the current heavens and earth will pass away, Matthew 24:35, and Revelation 20, verse 11. In fact, turn over to Revelation 20, verse 11. Jesus Christ is the one who was teaching in Matthew 24:35. But turn over to Revelation 20, verse 11. Here we have the great white throne judgment, where all unbelievers in human history will be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ and cast into the lake of fire. Verse 11 says, though, this occurs at the end of the millennial kingdom. And then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And earth and sky fled from his presence. And there was no place for them. They're gone. Heaven and earth fled from him. So at the end of human history, at the end of the millennial kingdom, the heavens and the earth are gone. 7. The earth, with everything in it, will be incinerated. The earth, with everything in it, will be incinerated, burned up. Turn over to 2 Peter 3. Second Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be incinerated. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. So 8. Both the heavens and the earth right now, they're deteriorating. The heavens and the earth are deteriorating. Nine. All of creation is transitory and locked in a downward spiral of deterioration and eventual destruction. All of creation is transitory and locked in a downward spiral of deterioration and eventual destruction. So the corrected translation so far: and like a mantle or a robe or a shawl, you, the Lord Jesus Christ, will roll them up like a garment. They, the heavens and the earth, will also be changed and discarded. But thou art the same. This is the conjunction dep with the personal pronoun su plus the present active indicative of the to be verb eimi plus the intensive pronoun autos with the definite article. The conjunction de is a conjunction of contrast, and correctly translated but, and de sets up a contrast between the heavens and the earth's deterioration and eventual destruction with the immutability of the incomparable Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this conjunction of contrast, death, sets up a contrast between the heavens and the earth, the universe, deterioration and eventual destruction, with the immutability of the incomparable Christ. And then we have the personal pronoun su, that means you, and that refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, this is the emphatic use of the personal pronoun su, and it should be correctly translated you and only you. You and only you. And then we have the present tense of the to be verb eimi. E-I-M-I, eimi. And the present tense is very important. The present tense is linear action, Sark. That's how you graph it. And you translate it, keep on being. Keep on being ha'autos. Now, ha'autos is the intensive pronoun. Autos. A couple of things. One, the intensive pronoun autos sets the Lord Jesus Christ off from anyone and anything else. The intensive pronoun autos sets the Lord Jesus Christ off from anyone and anything else. Two, the intensive use of autos is correctly translated the same. The same. But you and only you, Jesus Christ, keep on being the same. So three, autos puts the spotlight on the immutability of the incomparable Christ. Autos puts the spotlight on the immutability of the incomparable Christ. But you, and only you, the Lord Jesus Christ, keep on being the same. And then we have, and thy years shall not fail. That's the King James. We have the conjunction chi with the nominative plural of atos with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of the personal pronoun su once again, plus the future active indicative of ek lepo, with the objective negative, uk. Well, the conjunction chi is connective and correctly translated and. And then we have atos. Looks like that in the Greek. E-T-O-S, atos. And atos is the Greek word for year. And we have the plural. Years, with the genitive singular of the personal pronoun su. So, and your years, and your years, and then we have eklepo with the objective negative uk, which slams the door. And your years, and then verb eklepo, eklepo. E-K-L-E-I-P, long O, eklepo. Now, eklepo is only used as an intransitive verb in the New Testament scriptures. And it's only found four times in the New Testament. Three times it's used by Luke. Luke 16:19, Luke 22:32, Luke 23:45. The only other time it is used is in our verse, Hebrews 1:12. So, literally, eklepo means to fail. Literally, it means to fail. Figuratively, eklepo means to come to an end. To come to an end. But with the objective negative uk, not may, that's the subjective negative. This is uk. And it looks like that in the Greek and in the English. Uk. Objective negative uk slams the door. And your years absolutely will not come to an end. So, Hebrews 1:10-12. This is quotation number 6 now Quotation number 6 is in the can. Starting at verse 10, you and only you, O Lord, with reference to the beginnings, laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They, the heavens and the earth, will be destroyed, but you, and emphatically you, remain unchanged. And they all, the heavens and the earth, will become old, like a garment. Verse 12, and like a mantle or a robe or a shawl, you, the Lord Jesus Christ, will roll them up as a garment. They, the heavens and the earth, will be changed and thrown away. But you, the incomparable Christ, and only you, keep on being the same. And your years absolutely will not come to an end. Quotation number 6. All right. 1. Christ was in the beginning. He always was the eternally existing God, and created the foundations of both the heavens and the earth. Christ was in the beginning. He is the eternally existing God, and created the foundations of both the heavens and the earth. 2. This means he had to exist before the beginning. He is the eternally existing God. Three, thus Christ, who created all things, the creator of all things, is the eternal God. Thus Christ, who created all things, is the eternal God. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 16. For by the agency of Him, Christ, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. Verse 17. And He is before all things, and by Him, by the agency of Him, all things are held together. The sustainer of the universe is the incomparable Christ. 4. But the heavens and the earth are transitory. They are in a downward trend of deterioration, and they will eventually be destroyed. But the heavens and the earth are transitory. They are in a downward trend of deterioration, and they will eventually be destroyed. 5. The heavens and the earth are compared to an old garment, a robe, a mantle, a shawl. that will one day be rolled up and thrown away. The heavens and the earth are compared to an old garment that will one day be rolled up and thrown away. 6. However, Christ is the eternally existing God. He is not transitory. Seven. Christ is eternal. Christ is immutable. Christ is unchangeable. Turn over to Hebrews 13. And we'll get there. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yes, and forever. The immutable, incomparable Christ. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yes, and forever. 8. And in the future, Christ will create a new heavens and a new earth that will also be eternal. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we will live in that new heavens and new earth forever. And in the future, He will create a new heavens and a new earth that will also will be eternal. 9. Therefore, Christ is superior to angels. Infinitely superior to angels. In His essence, in His attributes, in His existence, in His power, in His immutability, in His glory. Ten. So the heavens are at the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ is never at the mercy of the heavens. So the heavens are at the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Lord Jesus Christ is never at the mercy of the heavens. 11. The earth and nature are at the mercy of Christ, but Christ is never at the mercy of the earth or nature. 12. When the earth and nature are destroyed, the fallen angels will be judged and cast into the lake of fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25, verse 41. When the earth and nature are destroyed, the fallen angels will be judged and cast into the lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Turn over to Matthew 25. We will end with this tonight. And we'll pick it up at this point with quotation number 7 next week. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then he, the Lord Jesus Christ, will also say to those on his left, all unbelievers in human history, all members of the human race, that from their free will, their own volition, rejected Jesus Christ, did not believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Then he, the Lord Jesus Christ, will also say to those on his left, all unbelievers in human history, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels, fallen angels. Matthew 25:41. All right? Well, there's quotation number 6. We're down to quotation number 7 next Thursday. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.